Okay, why don't we shoot?
I think he's offset. I've got the slate.
When you have a big breakfast, do you ever have a Coke with it?
Never. I can't drink any fizzy drinks or Coke in the morning because it goes in your empty stomach and it feels weird.
What about when, like, you were more of a party girl? If you had, like, a breakfast the next morning, you would never be like,
It was always, unless I had slept in so much it was after 12. And then I would have gone, walked to, because I used to live near a Subway, and I would get a massive meatball sub meatball sub with a Coke Zero.
I'll have a meatlong football sub, please.
Yeah, but that was only because of walking distance and if I was really, really hungover. But
talk about the walking dead.
Normally it was
Fear of the walking dead.
Normally it was OJ. Why? You look like a Coke man.
I'm a fucking Coke
and
man.
And soft drink.
Oh, this is... Should we just
Oh, you're recording,
it real quick?
Are you?
Jesus Christ. I am one of your hosts, Dr. Damien Gibson. I didn't go to Dr. Pepper school to be called Mr. Coke. Thank you very much. And the blue corner, it's the Italian Gelden. It is Callie Big Whoop. Want to find about it for Stuka? Here she is.
I tell you what, I do feel a bit ill right now because I haven't eaten today at all. And it's after lunch. I've just had coffee. And then I just had a few wafer crackers with some hummus. And I was like, oh, that's fine. And then
step us through your whole meal process.
I'm getting there. Mm-hmm. And then I had some chicken twisties because there's an open packet of chicken twisties, so I had a handful of those.
Yeah, I know. I bought them.
I know. And then now I'm kind of like feeling like. Now I'm kind of feeling like. Ugh,
hello. Ugh.
Like, I don't know. The chicken twisties maybe didn't sit.
Not sitting as well.
I mean. Who
would have thought that a kilo of chicken twisties and half a can of creamy soda before a podcast isn't the champion's food that you thought it would be?
Nah.
The breakfast of champions.
Nah, I mean, I'm having a Coke's sugar-free pasito.
Me? Pasito. What's my podcast ritual before a podcast? How do I set up for one? Mate, 2 bags of chicken twisties and a creamy soda. Fucking...
Man, the Kirk's sugar-free are pretty delicious. Not for nothing.
I'm not being a dickhead here. I knew there was Diet Coke. And in the States, it's a huge thing. Diet this, diet the other, Diet Sprite. I have a Diet Pepsi. I have a Diet Coke. I have never heard the term sugar-free as much as when I married into Callie's family.
Yeah. No, I'm the only one who does it. Everyone in my family has normal Coke, normal lemon squash. It's all normal. Maybe at Dad's, you might get a Coke Zero, but no. Every time I go to a sibling's house, I'm not lying. I go to my brother's or my sister's or my mum or my dad. Like, there's never any sugar-free there. I've always brought my own sugar-free because they're all like, if you're going to have soft drink, just have the big one. Just have the normal, just my mum. Have the normal hot sugar one. Oh, hi, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Chicken twisties, I'm on medication at the moment. I'm on medication at the moment to help me lose a bit of weight and to help regulate my glucose because my glucose is not performing as well as it should. Oh, yes. So when I do, I have to kind of eat slower. And I noticed last night, this has happened to me 2 or 3 times before. Mm-hmm. I wasn't aware that it was called something, but thankfully TikTok. And also, if I can just go another tangent, there was a TikTok thing that said, you know, and the caption was, when you read something on TikTok and you want to use it in a conversation.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And the chick's like, so I was reading it. I read it somewhere. Yeah. New York Times, maybe New York Times, Mary Claire. I don't know. I read it somewhere. Cause you never want to say I saw something on TikTok. Cause it's half GQ. It's probably
GQ
not
is
true.
Always my go-to.
Right. So it was a thing called, it's called like food dumping. I never knew what that was. And it's when you're on weight loss medication. And last night, I mean, I didn't eat unhealthy last night. I ate fine, but I ate really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're on weight loss things, if you eat really quickly, it basically causes a reaction where it goes like it doesn't even spend time in your stomach. Like it just goes straight into the small intestines, which means that you'll go to the toilet a few times, pretty significantly. And I remember one night, I feel like the first time it happened to me, I felt like we did have Red Rooster that night, and I could not stop going to the toilet.
Wow!
And there was nothing left. It wasn't like that. It was different because I ate. But then I've noticed because of the way the medication is, I don't want to eat fast. I do want to eat slower. And yesterday I just never had lunch and you know what I mean? Because I didn't eat a good something during the day, I was starving and ate too fast. And yeah, it was pretty – I was like, oh, is that what that is? Because your body's having a reaction and it's food dumping. And it is exactly what it sounds like. It's like even to the point where I'd already gone twice and Damien came home because he went to the movies, which we will talk about in an Uno Memento. And you came to give me a kiss and I went, I need to go to the toilet.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty usual when I get home and give you a kiss. Hello. I thought you were going to talk about the revolution is coming. The revolution is happening.
What's a revolution?
CEOs being gunned down in the street.
Oh, listen.
And now on TikTok, I'm seeing all these like doctors in like sociology and history and stuff, like bringing up legitimate letters and news articles that were like written at the dawn of the French Revolution. And let's just put it this way. The difference between letters from disgruntled Frenchmen at that time and TikTok posts about this CEO, pretty fucking similar.
Listen, this is – okay, so quick
– Ben Shapiro's fans have started dragging him on his own podcast. That happened last night where he was trying to stick up for the CEO class and every one of his fucking right-wing MAGA voting
right
supporters were like, right, fuck you, man. Fuck this guy. It's happening. Do you hear the people sing, singing a song of
every man? It is my place is here. I fight with you.
It turns out
one the rep. Okay. All right. Another.
All right, theater school. It turns out. It turns out.
Master of the house.
Oh, fuck you. It turns out the revolution won't be televised. It'll be on TikTok.
So listen, just quickly for those
which is why they're trying to ban it.
Let's get to that. Okay. So let's quickly talk about a CEO for a health insurance company in America who we found out is one of the worst ones in terms of not approving people's claims, insurance claims, right? So we have Medicare here. You know, you can choose to have private health, but we have Medicare and, you know, we have hospitals, blah, blah, blah. But in America, it's not. So just to give you an idea, in America, if you have a baby, you can pay anywhere from like $40,000 to have a baby. In Australia, go to the Royal Women's, you have a baby for free. But in America, it's 40 grand. If you have a cesarean, you're looking at $100,000. If you have complications, you're looking at $250,000. If the baby's in the NICU, well, fuck, you're fucked. So basically, your health insurance, which is your Medicare, which you pay for out of your, you know, whatever, they have to approve. So they'll probably pay, you know, out of that 40 grand, they'll probably pay 35 and you only pay 5,000. Anyway, long story short, one of the worst health got shot in the back by a guy wearing a hoodie with a silencer gun. They have not found him yet, right? And then on the bullets were, there was three bullets they found. Two of them distinctively carved in. Deny was deny. Mm-hmm. Defund. Is it defund? Deny. Yep. And what was the other word? Anyway.
So basically, deny, desist.
Dispose. Defund, deny, dispose. So two of the bullets clearly had defund, deny, and then the last bullet, they're pretty sure, they're making it out that it does say dispose, which is the name of a book that was released about how bad the healthcare system is in America, and he was shot in the back. So for the first time ever on TikTok, I'm seeing the right wing and the left wing actually agreeing on one fucking thing. Who would have thought? And I know it's like awful because it's like he was a father, it was this, it was that.
It's happening. It's happening. Rage Against the Machine's playing in the streets, baby. It's revolution time. This is my fucking, this is my Super Bowl. I've been waiting for this my whole life. Come on.
Yeah. That's why you're so quiet over there.
Another bomb track.
I mean, I love how you go to Rage Against the Machine and I go to Les Mis. All I want to do is listen and should we just watch it real quick today? But it's such a powerful thing because, like, for years, I mean, Michael Moore, what was the Michael Moore? Remember he did the big thing about, he talked about it in one of his movies. It was we're so shit at this. Michael Moore. Anyway, and because I had the story in there about the guy who had his fingers cut off and he can only afford, he had three fingers cut off in a farm accident, and they said, look, we can only, you can only afford to sew one of them back on. Which finger do you want? And he chose the finger, like the pointer.
Sicko.
Sicko, right? So he got three fingers cut off. So he was like, all right. So he had to choose because he didn't have any health insurance and he couldn't afford all three fingers. You know what I mean? Like stuff like that. Anyway, and this is not like, we're not even talking about, like, anyway, they're very, very bad people. Like, you're looking at them making $200 billion. When you're a health fund, you should be making a $200 billion profit because it means you're not paying for anything for anyone.
I would suggest that you shouldn't be making a profit at all.
You shouldn't be. It's really horrible. I don't have a lot of sympathy. Like, right?
I have absolutely no sympathy
and it's
whatsoever.
Awful because people are like, this is a father, this is a blah, blah, blah. And the wife had said that he had had threats and it was about, it hasn't come out yet. And I think this is why it hasn't come out yet, because they probably know, they probably have an idea of who did it. And he's in hiding and everything. It's well orchestrated because there were threats about a particular case to his life that had gotten back to him, and he told his wife. And he's like, oh, we're not even taking it seriously. It's so dumb, whatever. And it was about a refused claim and coverage for someone, something, right? Because they haven't really talked about, they haven't found him, but...
But they're not going to talk about that, right? Like, at the risk of, like, turning this, like, comedy podcast into, a heavy episode, they're not going to talk about the reasons why, right? When you see the reporting of it in, you know, on the news, it's, you know, crazed gunman, like, shoots businessman for no reason. Like, they might allude to it a little bit, but they're not going to go into the details of, like, This man oversaw the most amount of health care denials in the United States of America, so much so that they brought the average up single-handedly. They brought up the national average of denials up on their own. And there's a huge amount of insurers in America, so you've got to be pretty fucked up and evil to be doing that.
And then they're just following suit now.
For whenever you're listening to this on the way to work or at work, on the way home from work or whatever, the shareholder meeting that he was going into that day, Like, he was walking into the building to go to that shareholder meeting at 7 o'clock in the morning, whatever it was, still went ahead.
Fuck.
It still went ahead.
Are you kidding?
They
did not know that.
They stepped over his dead body
to have the shareholder
to go to this fucking shareholder meeting.
Wow.
They didn't give a fuck about him. So this narrative of like, oh, he was a father and a da-da-da-da-da, the fuck, they don't give a fuck. They don't give a fuck about him. Right? They didn't give a fuck about him. The shareholder meeting still had to happen. Everything had to keep going. They don't care. And this feeling that you're seeing on social media, if you're confused by it, that's why. It's not just people who are angry because, you know, they may have been denied services that are a basic human right. It's also that there is this – people are being lied to about shit like this, and we all know it. And you can only take advantage of a group of people for so long before they'll start fighting back. And that's what's happening. This is someone taking justice into their own hands because they can't see any other way around it. And maybe they've got mental illness problems. Maybe they've got mental health problems as well.
I think that they're thinking very clearly.
I've seen that thrown out there. I don't know. The way this was done,
it seemed like an
execution killing.
The bullets, and man. So fucked.
Like,
listen.
Like you can't go to a that would be like, I don't know, a Ku Klux Klan member being murdered and then expecting a bunch of African-American black people in America to give a fuck about it. Like, this guy has been part of a ruling class that have been oppressing American people for at least 40 years, probably longer if we really want to get into the history of it. And people are fucking sick of it. And if I was part of that elite class or wanting to be a part of that elite class, I would be very, very scared and wary right now. Because it's not just that. It's not just what happened during the week. It's the sentiment after it that I would be afraid of.
Yeah.
You know?
100%. No, my thing about the police, like they're not really saying on the news details, is because it's like what happens here when the police go quiet when they've got leads and they don't want to give it to the press. Like, so they're quite quiet on leads and stuff.
But
because
they're not talking about motives either. That's what I'm saying. Because the motives are part of huge symptoms of everything that's wrong with, you know, neoliberal free market capitalism, which is just another word for the rich have everything and everybody else get fucked.
Like, it's a terrible thing, but and this might make me a bad person, but I could not give a fuck. And I'm actually kind of happy because how many people have died under his watch? Like, when Ed Larson from last podcast on the left, he's done a documentary about his mother who had diabetes and she's passed away. A victim of the American Medicare system, you know, being denied all this stuff. And like, just go on TikTok and see all the stories that people have about my mom, my dad, my sister, me, like all these things that happen where it was, and it's like, it's just chaos. Like, even like one story I was watching, and this is just the small part of it, where she was like, so I had to cancel. I had to cancel my insurance with United. Whoever it was. Mm. So the same company. She goes, so because I had a third child, it meant that I actually qualified for Medicaid, you know, the Obamacare. So she had to cancel her health insurance, right? So that was the thing. Cancel the health insurance. We won't cover you anymore because we can only cover you for two children. You've got three. You've got to get Obamacare. So she cancelled it. They kept on sending her bills for 12 months after the kid was born. They kept sending her bills. Then she started getting calls from collections agencies from bills. But she's like, but you're sending me bills because I haven't paid my monthly payment when I'm cancelled. So every time she would call, yeah, of course, you cancelled 2 months ago. Still get a letter. And those letters will still get into collections. And this is where the chaos of how bad, like this is one element of, not even going to tell about what the whole other story, but so now she goes, my credit rating's fucked, this and that. She goes, I actually thought about paying these bills just so it would go away because the actual damage it was doing to me. And I'm not even a customer of theirs. Like this kind
That's
of bullying.
That's
this
what
is what they want. They want people to do that, right? So I could not give a fuck. probably horrible. And even I saw one person say, well, maybe they'll look at gun reform now. Because if the elite have to be worried. But I'm like, good, good. Like, fuck this. And also, if you ever wanted an argument about am I valued at my workplace, just think of this story where they basically had to step over this guy's dead body and still had a meeting. I said it to my sister this week about something where I was like, at the end of the day, if you don't, if you, because about being loyal to your workplace, at the end of the day, if you didn't go in tomorrow, your workplace would function as normal, like you weren't even, you're just a blimp in nothing. Mm. So don't ever have, don't ever think of like your employer or workplace as like, you know, oh, I better do this for them, blah, blah, blah. No one gives a fuck about you.
No.
No one cares. So like, and this
and
is
the
like,
only people who are ever going to make you feel guilty about that are the kind of people who literally have nothing else in their life. They've never read a book. They don't give a fuck. Their job is their life. And they're probably sociopathic or psychopathic and they get off on making you feel like shit about things. The thing I was going to say, just that last thing on United Healthcare and then we'll move on to like trying to have some fun. Is
this is fun for me.
The problem with these companies and the vast majority of models under capitalism that we live in right now and why people are so angry if you can't get your head around this, I think the majority of our audience would. But anyway, is that the three words that were on those bullets for this healthcare company is not a side effect of their business model. It is their business model.
Yeah.
You know, if they were like, oh, well, you know, unfortunately sometimes that happens, but our real business model is that – but it isn't. The business model is to garner – to just scrape as much money out of the general public as possible and put it into the pockets of the CEOs and shareholders.
Correct.
And that's it. And they use health and people's well-being as a cloak of invisibility to be able to do that. And correct. It's disgusting.
Also, don't shop at Woolworths. And also, while you're there, don't shop at Coles.
Yeah, don't shop at Coles.
Don't shop at Coles or Woolworths.
Especially do not shop at Woolworths at the moment.
They fucking are, Fair Work. What the fuck were they thinking?
Breaking picket lines for their...
Hiring scabs,
breaking picket lines. Absolutely fucking mutt dog behavior. Go to your local fruit shop. Go to your fucking wherever, anywhere but.
Every suburb has a main strip, right? Every suburb has a main strip which has a baker, a butcher, fruit. You know,
if you're out of metropolitan areas, it's a lot harder. I understand that. IGAs are more expensive, all that kind of thing. But if you can, try and do it.
And even every big shopping center has. Like, you know, butchers and stuff as well. Everything's separate from Coles and Woolworths.
And the produce is, like, honestly, even if it is slightly, like, you know, 50 cents, a dollar more per kilo, most of the time these poor butchers and stuff who are just running franchises have to match the prices at those supermarkets anyway to even get a foot in the door. The produce is better. It's fresher, it's bigger, it's nicer, it's more organic.
Also,
so
Coles and Woolworths... is not like back in the day, you'd be like, oh, we'll never shop at IGA, it's too expensive. Not anymore, guys.
No, it's actually like I made a joke the other day to Cal of like, we could probably shop at 7-Eleven and it would be the same price as Woolworths. And then I went and looked at some prices.
Yeah.
And they're not far off each other.
Honestly,
it's 2 liter of milk at Sev's. Was like $5 for Pura Light Start and it was $4.80 at Woolworths.
Fuck that. Listen, so, like, fuck it. And also, it's not even just...
If we're in a state where we're doing our shopping at 7-Eleven, it's a pretty dire experience.
And it's not even just that. Like, there's a guy on TikTok called the Price Alert Guy where he does all the studies where it says, you know...
you should follow him on TikTok.
Yeah, it's so good. Where it's like, you know, half price, you know, this item was $10, now it's $5. And then he goes through and finds out...
He tracks all the bullshit price changes Coles put out there.
So he'll go through and go and show you when it was $10. And, you know, it was never $10. On some things, it's like it was always $7, $7, $7. And then for 1 week, it was... 10 and then they could justify doing it as the half price special. But and then also a lot of the, you know, save $1 here, save $1.50. You're not saving it because it was never at that price. It's all lies. It's fucking lies, and it's disgraceful. And Woolworth and Coles are working hand in hand, where, like, there's evidence of it. It's actual clear. ACCC are on it. They have to, like, all this shit's happening now where Coles and Woolworths are chatting and going, okay, so week one, all these items were on special. They're full price at Coles. Now, the next week, we swap.
Yeah, they're swapping their specials and
They're swapping their specials over. Damien, Damien, you went to the movies last night.
I did.
What'd you see?
I saw Gladiator 2 starring Paul Mescal, Pedro Pascal,
and Paul
Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
And a whole bunch of other people. Good. Didn't mind it. 3.5 stars.
Grumps.
Grumps. No. It, in its own right, really fun action movie. Mm-hmm. Like kind of swords and sandals film, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ridley Scott, good at directing. It's Ridley Scott that directed this, right? Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. Very good at directing the set pieces, very good at having a kind of machismo in his films, you know, like this masculinity and stuff. Now, I'm going to prefix this by saying I haven't watched the first Gladiator in maybe 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a plot line. Now, do you mind if it's all spoilers, no facts?
Sure.
It is?
Sure.
So Paul Mescal, if you don't want any spoilers for this film, I would suggest fast-forwarding 10 minutes. Paul Mescal is Russell Crowe's son.
Right.
But you don't find that out until halfway through the film.
Right. I assumed that.
There was going to be some, right? Like, and it's kind of... It kind of works, but my mate Michael, shout out to Michael, he was saying, and I were talking about it in the car on the way home. And again, neither of us had watched the film in a long time, so maybe it was kind of insinuated that Marcus Aurelius's daughter, so the emperor before Joaquin Phoenix, I think, had an affair with Russell Crowe and they had a child. Because at the end of the film, remember there's the child is around in that movie that like kind of hero worships Russell Crowe? Yeah, see, everyone I've spoken to has been like, yeah, I think I kind of remember a kid being around in the first film.
Yeah, I remember.
So that kid is Paul Mescal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like the blonde woman that's like...
She's back.
Yeah, she's back.
Yeah.
She had an affair with Russell Crowe. And the kid came from that, and that's now Paul Mescal. But I don't remember any of that. I don't remember any of that being, like, completely put out in the film or even
and
sort
who's
of...
Who's the bad guy? Whose child is that?
What do you mean?
It's a bad guy. Who's the bad guy? Who's
the bad guys are the twin emperors of Rome,
mm-hmm.
who are particularly bad. I also kind of got the vibe that they were Joaquin Phoenix's sons.
Mm-hmm.
And were left to die out with some wolves and then were brought back to Rome and are just like batshit crazy. My friend Quang Michael didn't get that, so maybe I'm doing some work for the movie. The bad guy is Denzel Washington. This is another spoiler.
Oh, is he?
Because at the beginning of the film, you kind of get the vibe. So the first half of the film, you kind of get the vibes of like he is going to be... an ally of Paul Mescal and help him sort of get through Rome and help Paul Mescal get what he wants, which is... So the very beginning of the film, Pedro Pascal is a commander of the Roman Empire. He shows up at... Pascal lives in... Paul Mescal, the gladiator, lives in northern Africa in this town. The Romans show up. There's a big fight. Pedro Pascal orders his archers to kill Paul Mescal's wife.
Okay.
And he sees that happen. Mm. So, because he's such a great warrior, He gets captured by the Romans. He gets taken to Rome. He gets picked up by Denzel Washington along the way to become a gladiator. And he's very, very good at it.
Okay.
He says to Denzel, Denzel Washington's like, "You're a great gladiator. What do you want?" And he's like, "I want the head of Pedro Pascal because he killed my wife." So that's the initial setup for the film. Right.
Right.
But then halfway through the film, they introduce all this other sort of subplot stuff of it turns out that Pedro Pascal is actually a good guy and has been – he is with the blonde woman that – so the blonde woman that was with Russell Crowe in the first film, her second husband essentially is Pedro Pascal, who is also the commander of the Roman Empire. And they're plotting to take down these evil twin emperors and return Rome to the people.
Mm-hmm.
And so it all becomes a not convoluted, but a little more complicated after that. There's a lot more politics and stuff going on. Meanwhile, the blonde woman, I just feel bad that I don't know the actor's name or the character's name, but she works out that Gladiator is her son. So now, and so that he works out that he is Maximus's, Russell Crowe's son, but also Marcus Aurelius's grandson.
I'm glad I didn't see this film.
Why?
I could not give a shit.
Why?
I don't know. It just doesn't sound interesting.
It is. I'm probably not doing a great job of explaining it. I actually think I enjoyed watching this film. I think it was more enjoyable film to watch than the first one.
Okay.
I think the first one was longer and drier, and there was more melodrama and sort of like Oscar baity film techniques implored in that first film. This is very much a big budget action film that has some fantastic set pieces, although I will say at the very beginning of the film when the Romans show up, the CGI looks like shit. Later on in the film, not too bad. I feel like it's more of what we've seen recently of more practical effects combined with CGI rather than just pure CGI, which always works 100 times better. But the performance is better. I think Paul Mescal is a better actor than Russell Crowe. Like if I'm comparing the two performances.
Pedro, mate.
No, Pesca, no. Paul Mescal, who is the main guy,
yeah,
is a better actor than Russell Crowe. He was more engaging. He was, I think, like just a better leading man. I believed him more in this role than I did Russell Crowe in the first film.
Hang on. Jimmy's having a bad dream. Jimmy's having a bad dream. Because I could hear him beside me going, boof, boof, boof. And then in his sleep, he's growling. He's going, brrr, in his sleep. Oh, it just stopped, but it was pretty cute.
Anyway, so second half of the film is there's a lot of political intrigue. Denzel Washington essentially fucks over Pedro Pascal, dobbs on him and his revolutionary plans to the twin emperors, but then also fucks over one of the twin emperors so he can use one of the twins as a puppet to become the head of Rome. But in reality, the subtext of this film is that the people should take over Rome.
The people must take over Rome. Jimmy's having a bad dream. Should I wake him up?
Yeah.
Hey, wake up, Papa. Shh, it's all right. Poor darling. So 3 grumps?
I'm going to give it 3.5 grumps. I enjoyed it. I'm probably not giving it a great review. It probably sounds like it's a bad review, but I was in the whole time. I was watching it at a Gold Class Cinema with, I wouldn't say a bunch of film nerds, the crowd, but everyone was in. There were no real talking. People weren't getting, and it's a 2.5 hour film, so it kept everybody's attention for that period of time. I think it's a really solid action flick.
I also watched a film with that Paul guy in it this week, After Sun. It was a recommendation of a friend. And, I don't know. It's quite beautiful and brilliant, After Sun. I'm like, have I not heard about this film? But it's one of those films that's like won every award. You know, like the Cannes fucking, you know, do the fleur on my dumb dick award, the Camera d'Or at the Cannes Film Festival. Mm-hmm. And also he got nominated for an Oscar for this film as well, which I didn't realize. And he's really young. He's only 28. But yeah, really charming in After Sun. Just plays like a young dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel he was quite beautiful. And I kept on seeing, he's also in another film, All of Us Strangers. Yeah, All of Us Strangers. It seems like he's done five films in a row that are very fucking good films.
Mm.
You know, whether they were always going to be or whether it's him. I'm sure it's a little bit of both. And he's just come out of nowhere to like just be really, you know what I mean? Like he's like a big star. Like, oh, this guy. He's just everywhere.
Mm.
But yeah, he was in, and that's with Andrew Scott in All of Us Strangers.
I saw that.
So handsome and sexy. And a lot of people think that this Paul guy is really handsome and sexy. And I think he's kind of sweet and charming. But my money's on Pedro. I love Pedro. Mm-hmm. He's so good. He's so good on SNL. But also, this guy, Pedro Pascal, hello, he's been in – so now he's in Gladiator 2.
Mm-hmm.
He was in one of his first roles was Buffy. He was in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
He was in The Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's in all these really like
he's going to be in the biggest movie.
Oh, the Fantastic ever Four! With
the Fantastic Four, that's going to be huge.
He's just managed to play all these like side parts for years in some of the biggest TV shows, and it wasn't until The Last of Us where you watch him in like Gladiator and then SNL and then watch him in The Last of Us where he's just like very solemn American father, and he's brilliant. You know, like there's a line that he says in The Last of Us where he goes, "You are silent, not quiet," which is like, you know, because you don't want to get the zombies, like silent. You know, you're silent, not quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he says it, it's so, he's fantastic. I really like him, but I think you should watch After Sun. I don't want to say too much about it because it's one of those movies that really – it's a real slow European burn.
Yep.
Like that kind of – like Ridley, like Call Me By My Name, all that sort of stuff. But it's worth it. It's worth it with how
– it's my favorite National Lampoon's film, European Burn.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just worth it because it's very every shot – is like a lot of people go, oh, it's too slow, these kind of films, but I'm like, every shot is purposeful.
Mm-hmm.
Every like prolonged establishing shot, you know, the camera is looking off to the side while we hear dialogue. Why?
Yeah,
because it's telling you something. And I feel like you'd really like it, and it's quite beautiful but also heartbreaking and stuff like that.
Okay. Well, yeah, that does sound like my kind of thing.
Yeah.
How many grumps are you going to give it? You don't have to spoil it, but how many
I'm
grumps?
Not gonna, I'm not give? Actually not going to spoil it because I really want you to watch it. I'm going to give it 4.
Whoa.
Yeah. Like, because I originally was like maybe 3, 3.5, but I feel like there's no soundtrack to it.
Mm.
There's no soundtrack except for when the actual people in the movie are listening to music. To which there is a bit of music, and it's set in the 90s. So, you know, they're on a holiday in Turkey, and he's from London and she's Scottish. And so it's like, you know, a lot of Blur, a bit of Bowie, stuff like that. Yeah, it's good. It's a good soundtrack, and it's really fitting to the time. So just do yourself a favor. It's good. And he is, I never realized it because I kept on seeing this guy, Paul Pascal everywhere, and I was like, and I was like, I don't give a shit. Who is this who is this shit dick? And then
well, you know who he is. He just got announced a couple of weeks ago. He will be playing Paul McCartney in the Beatles films are coming out in 2027.
What are the Beatles films about?
There's going to be 4 Beatles films, and each Beatle gets a film.
Ah.
That is my understanding.
Oh, that's fucking cool. I like that.
So he's playing Paul, our old mate, Barry Keogh, Mr. Saltburn.
Oh, no. Who's he playing?
Fucking Big Dick Energy. You're not going to like this, bub. I'm sorry. He's playing Ringo.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, his eyes are too squinty.
Yeah.
Ringo has big doe eyes. His eyes are too squint. That's a wrong casting. That is dumb.
And the guys who were cast as George and John, I'm sorry, I'm an old man. I didn't know them. I didn't recognize them. They kind of looked like George and John. I actually thought you could have swapped them a little bit. But anyway, they're making films about the Beatles, and that's all that matters. Speaking of which, I might try and watch the 64 documentary that has come out on Disney Plus for the next episode.
All right. Good one.
Martin Scorsese produced a documentary about Beatlemania.
Oh. Ooh, so, I'd watch that.
And it's on Disney Plus, so yeah. And it's got Paul on it and Ringo, and I guarantee...
It's got Paul and Ringo on it.
Here's a drinking game. Every time Paul understates how big the Beatles are, take a drink. You'll be smashed.
Just a little guy.
We were just four guys from... Yeah, we just got on a tiny little plane and went over to America, and then it was all this.
But just picked up my song stick and went, oh, la, la, la.
We didn't know that we were being played constantly on every radio station in America. We had no idea. Mm. Even though we'd just gone number one in every country across the world except for America. We weren't expecting America to be, you know, we were just four guys from Liverpool. We're just a little band, you know.
All right, let's go.
Peace and love. Great job, everybody. Fan mail will be put in the bin.
Okay.
Do you guys remember that?
Yes. Simpsons.
Ringo YouTube.
All right, yeah.
No, like from 2017 where he put out a YouTube saying if you send any more fan mail, it will go in the rubbish. Anyway.
I've hung it up on my wall. I really like it.
I don't know what that is, but anyway.
When Marge sends a painting of him. Oh. Thanks, Marge. Thanks for the picture. I've hung it on my wall.
All
right. Bye, everyone.
All right. Love you guys.
Love you guys. Hey, thank you.
Rate and review. See you in a fortnight.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Love you.
Love you.